Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm joined by my co-host, Marcus Schraper. What's up, Mark?
What up?
What's been going on this week, man?
Oh, man, not much. Just getting ready for weekend full of kids' ball games again. And, of course, baseball starts this weekend. Greg will be playing by the two kids, finishing up with basketball in the next few weeks, and both of them starting their baseball and softball season. So, you know, I tell everybody, once baseball starts, you know, that kind of ends me doing anything for about 2 to 3 months, because that's where we're swamped with, you know, all the kids stuff.
Yeah. Don't forget that it's Valentine's Day weekend this weekend.
Yeah.
And Super Bowl weekend as well. And man, it's a crazy jam-packed week.
It is. That's what I was talking to somebody today. I don't remember a time where the Super Bowl was, and it's always close to Valentine's Day, but I don't remember a time of Super Bowl being Valentine's weekend. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah. It's like this week's been crazy for us too, man. I've got I think all three of my kids are sick this week. Mostly just sinus infection, ear infection, bacterial infection, all types of stuff. And then our middle kid had tubes get put in her ears this morning, and she's been super cranky, which is pretty much her normal personality anyways. And then I've been planning a fundraiser for tomorrow night. We'll have our church annual Valentine's Day banquet, and so that'll be pretty cool. And then following up Sunday with the Super Bowl Sunday, and we got a fellowship at church the same night. And so it's going to be a crazy weekend, man. One of those weekends where it seems like the weekend's not long enough and you pretty much work through the weekend.
Yep.
But yeah, it ends up being worth it.
True. I'd actually, before we recorded tonight, we had sat down and was watching the home team. I've had several people, you included, telling me to watch that. We didn't get all the way through it. We had to pause it where we could record, but, you know, just reliving that anger of the Bounty Gate, being a Packer and a Brett Favre fan, you know, knowing that should have been the Vikings in that Super Bowl. But that's what Lauren, she's like, is that a true story? I was like, yeah, you know, I remember that, where they, you know, put a bounty out for Brett Favre's head. And of course, you know, all the NFL and refs felt sorry for the Saints because of Katrina and let them go on to win the Super Bowl. So,
man, I really that's who did the Saints play in the Super Bowl that year?
Colts.
Yeah, okay.
Beat Peyton Manning.
That's right.
I say that. I mean, he did throw a horrible pick right there. He could have drove down, tied it up, and he threw a pretty bad pick to Porter. I think they returned it for a touchdown, so that ended it.
That's whenever, who was it, Joseph Addai was the running back?
Yep.
I'm surprised I can remember that far back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, once showing that, she's like, oh, yeah, I do remember that. She's a huge Peyton Manning fan. She was pretty mad.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of the Super Bowl, Mark, a couple weeks ago on one of the episodes when Greg, your son, was able to be on with us, we had our Super Bowl champion picks. And so what we like to do is kind of update here. What was on the line here was a $10 coffee gift card to a local shop here in Mississippi. And so what we did is we basically did a four-team draft of who we thought was going to be going to the Super Bowl. And this happened, what, back in week 11 of the NFL season, something like that?
I think so.
Marcus, the picks that you have left is the Los Angeles Rams. I have no picks left. And Greg has the Cincinnati Bengals. And so shout out to Greg with his last pick, picking the Cincinnati Bengals in that draft. And so it's going to come down to the father and son there. And so we're going to see who wins. Speaking of which, Marcus, who are you rooting for this Sunday?
When it comes to my picks, you know, I ought to be rooting for the Rams to get that gift card. But, man, I told somebody a couple weeks ago, as long as the 49ers didn't go, I was happy. So, I'd like to see Stafford get it. But then again, man, the season that Burrow's had here in the playoffs, you know, I mean, it's hard to root against the guy coming back off of ACL surgery and, you know, he's got everything going for him right now. So either way, I'm happy. Stafford, I think Burrow's going to be good for years to come, and Stafford's, you know, he's closing in on the end of his good days. You know, he's got a, you know, maybe a few more years left, and then with all the draft picks the Rams give up, I think they got a few years to do it, and they're going to be in a rebuild. So, I mean, maybe, you know, see Stafford go ahead and get it now. But, I mean, honestly, for the past several years, I can't say that in a Super Bowl I don't really care who wins. I just hope it's a good game. And I can honestly say, you know, either team, I'm going to be happy.
Yeah, and I'm kind of the same way, man. I'm not going to lie. I kind of want the underdog story to kind of come to fruition here.
Yeah.
I want to see Joe Burrow take home that championship, man, and be the first player to, what was it, win a Heisman, win a national championship, and win the Super Bowl. I just think that's a cool story overall. I know that's Greg's favorite team right now, so we'll see how that happens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, hey, you know, he's top junk because, of course, the Packers getting put out like they did. So, you know, and then if they win, then he'll end up winning the little prediction thing. So we'll have to hear about that. But
no, I'm sure.
I guess when it comes to the head coaching stuff, all I've been listening to is, you know, all the junk going on in Miami, which I think is crazy. You know, it's just a bad deal, and it's going to lead to some pretty big implications when it comes to you know, there's going to be lawsuits and stuff involved. But of course, if you turn on sports radio, you know, as far as national, that's all they're talking about when it comes to the head coach and stuff right now.
And I will say this, man, if there was one person I thought would already have a head coaching job by now, before even the lawsuit stuff came out, it was Flores.
Flores, me too.
And
yeah,
man, I really thought that was going to be a quick turnaround for him. I'm not going to lie.
Yep, yeah. And that's the thing. There's not but a few vacancies out there. And with the stuff going on, nobody's going to touch him. I mean, because he's suing all 32 teams.
Yeah, and that's like them saying that they were, what was it, them telling him that they'll give him like, what, $100 per loss or something like that, or $100K?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because trying to tank. I mean, and that, you know, that to me, with the Rooney rule and all the stuff, you know, where you've got to interview the coaches of a different race and stuff like that, I agree with that 100%. But you run into the things like that to where you're just doing it because you have to. But I agree with that. I think everybody should have a fair chance. But the thing that shocks me more is that, and I understand you want to tank, you want that number one draft pick, but as far as paying your coach to lose, to me, that, I don't know, man. I just don't agree with that. It's a bad look, man.
It's something
to
where you're literally wasting the prime of a lot of your players on your team.
Yeah. Well, and you're paying a guy to screw up. You know, you're paying a guy to tank, basically.
Well, to pretty much ruin his reputation going forward.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, so that's shocking to me more than the other. I mean, and I hate to say that, but, you know, there's teams that are interviewing, you know, coaches of different races just to check that off the list because the NFL tells them they have to. And that, I don't like that rule as far, you know, because it makes it to where – they're doing it out of obligation and not even giving the guy a fair chance. So I don't blame him a bit there, but I'm more shocked over the paying deal. That's just not, and in my opinion, you know, you're ruining a guy's reputation and you're, you know, and we know they all do it. And that's why eventually the NFL, I believe, is going to have to go to something like the NBA with the lottery system to where you don't tank on purpose. You know, you're going to have to. I was listening the other day and they said that they, I don't remember what podcast I was listening to, but they said they, you know, the bottom two teams are to have to play each year, you know, 30, 32 and 31, they play and whoever wins gets that pick. And the other guy's like, yeah, whoever loses are to have to go down to college and then let the winner of the national championship. I was like, man, that'd be crazy. But, you know, I mean, they implement something like that, that would stop the tanking. You know, so
I think they have something implemented like that overseas in like a soccer league and stuff.
They do,
to where you have like the Premier League and then a league lower than that, and like you have to win that league to get promoted.
Yeah, and I mean, even something as simple as, hey, the bottom four teams, you know, have a little playoff. That's what they said. They said instead of the Pro Bowl, that week in between the Super Bowl, you know, let the bottom two, three, four teams, you know, play each other.
Oh my gosh, man! Anything other than the stupid Pro Bowl.
Oh, the Pro Bowl's horrible. I'll be honest. I love sports. And I every All-Star game, the MLB All-Star game, I watch every minute of it. And NBA, I don't watch the NBA like I used to, but All-Star, they make it fun. There's no defense played in it either, but it's entertaining. I watched about 10 minutes of the Pro Bowl and I turned it off.
I watched the YouTube highlights of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna. I watch the skills competition. Now that's interesting. Put that on Sunday, because the two-hand touch crap
Yeah.
is it's crazy.
Well, it's bad whenever the highlights of the Pro Bowl is Mac Jones running for an 80-yard touchdown that didn't count and then doing the
Yeah,
gritty.
because he'd already got touched. I
Yeah.
mean, you know, touched, not tackled, touched. I'm like, dude, you know, and I understand nobody wants to get hurt. But if that's the case, don't play it. Put flags on your side. You know, do like the MLB, the softball game the night before they
I'm not
play
gonna
the
lie, man.
All-Star game.
I like the celebrity softball game.
Oh, I do too. I love it. I watch it every year. That's to
Yeah,
me
do something like that with flags and
that
do a
exactly.
celebrity flag football thing with
Yes.
legends
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
celebrities.
I mean the whole, you know, let's put our jerseys and pads and helmets on and then get out here and play two-hand touch. It's stupid.
Absolutely.
Uh,
I
and, and
agree
that
with you on that.
and they say, you know, that the linemen, what would they do? Because, you know, but still, I don't know. To me, the NFL, you know, if we had our winners and our losers, which I listen to on Mississippi on the Sports Talk, they do winners and losers each week, or each, and that would be the loser from the past couple weeks since we've recorded would be the NFL Pro Bowl, because it was horrible.
Well, now we've reached the point of our show where we usually take time and just thank our listeners and our two sponsor podcasts. But we'll save that to the end of the show. How about that, Marcus?
Sounds good.
Awesome. I'm ready to get into these free agents, man.
Yeah, but before
And
we do, real
yeah.
quick, we're talking about All-Stars and it's on my mind. Everybody that listens, not everybody, if you don't, you will, but get into to disc golf. They done their All-Stars this year, which is only the second year that they done it. I watched it today. Man, they nailed that. They do putting competitions and drive and stuff like that. They done a draft this year. And it was pretty neat. And the factor into that, like a week ago, we done our first year-long fantasy disc golf draft, which is on a platform called Skip Ace. It was pretty sharp. That's the first year. We've always done like a salary cap to where you pick players each week, but you know everybody can pick the same people.
Yeah.
And the guy who's over the Skip Ace decided to do year-long fantasy for disc golf, and that was pretty neat. So you know, of course, with all of our fantasy stuff with that in, I was like, man, that's pretty awesome. There's some guys actually starting up a fantasy disc golf podcast. I was like,
Oh, wow.
yeah, they was asking me, like, I've told them that, you know, we done one for football, and they was like, well, how's that work? And I was telling them, so they're fisting to. I mean the disc golf's on the rise, so I thought, man, that's pretty sharp. So
And so today's main topic, I guess you could say, is going to be the free agent frenzy. Last week or like 2 weeks ago, we covered the free agent frenzies in the wide receiver position. This week we're going to kind of do a two position free agent frenzy. What we'll do is basically just look at the upcoming free agents at the running back and the tight end position, where we would like for them to sign and what their dynasty value could be going forward. We're not going to spend just a ton of time on this just because of the we like to keep the length of this podcast kind of within like an hour range, something like that. But what we'll do is we'll go through the list of running backs and tight ends, those who are free agents. We'll talk about a couple of the teams that are looking at that position and have to fill a spot there. And then we have about 4 or 5 questions that we're going to ask each other and just answer and just kind of get our take on some of these key players that are going to be free agents. You cool with that, Marcus?
Yep.
Awesome. So let me go through this running back list real quick. Going into the 2022 offseason, your running back free agents are, and this is a tier list that I came up with. Basically, just your top tier players, and then it kind of just goes down from there. And so you have in the first tier James Conner, Melvin Gordon, Chase Edmonds, and Leonard Fournette. These four running backs, I genuinely think, can get a starting gig just about anywhere, specifically for about a year or two. Next, you have kind of on that verge of a RB1, RB2, you have Cordell Patterson, Rashad Penny, Sony Michel, and Ronald Jones. That's your free agents. And tier three is what I like to call backup running backs. And that is Darrell Williams, Justin Jackson, Marlon Mack, Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray, Gio Bernard, Jeff Wilson, Corey Coleman. In the next tier, you have washed running backs, which is Raheem Mostert, David Johnson, and James White. And then the very last tier, you have your restricted free agents in Boston Scott and D'Ernest Johnson. And so, Marcus, just out of those names right there, man, before we get into the teams and their needs and stuff, what's the one or two names on there that kind of interests you the most from a dynasty perspective?
I mean, honestly, even out of those top tier guys, I think Melvin Gordon, just to see, not necessarily. I think Gordon can be an RB2 on a fantasy team. He's kind of getting old. But I think for him, just to, you know, that's going to have big implications for Williams.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that one here in just a second.
Yeah. But other than that would be Marlon Mack still, because I think he's got a ton of potential if he ends up in the right place. I think he can go from that backup running back to that starting running back and be, you know, maybe even a weekly flex play if he gets, you know, like I look, if you look and you're fizzing to talk about teams with needs, but the one that pops in my mind is the Falcons. You know, if Patterson doesn't come back, you take Marlon Mack and put him on that team, and he's a starter there. Yeah. You know, so it kind of interested to see where he ends up.
Yeah, kind of the couple of names that kind of stick out to me, just the ones that I'm interested in, would honestly be Sonny Michel. We kind of got to see what he would do with the Los Angeles Rams this year, and honestly kind of take over Daryl Henderson's job there for a little bit whenever he was down. And then the other person that comes to mind as well is Justin Jackson, the RB2 out of the Los Angeles Chargers. When Eckler went down, man, Justin Jackson went in there and scored like 30 fantasy points. So he's shown that he can be a viable option there. But going into the team, I only have four teams here that are desperate for running backs. That's the Atlanta Falcons, the Arizona Cardinals, the Houston Texans, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so let's just go ahead and dive into these questions, Marcus. First question I got for you, does Melvin Gordon stay in Denver?
I hope not. And I don't own Williams or Gordon, I think, in any of my dynasty leagues. But, man, I think Williams can really shine. But Gordon's going to have to get out of the way for him to do it. I think they upgrade at quarterback this year. And they've got the receivers there to, you know, to be dangerous on offense. So, you know, I think if Gordon gets out of the way, it's going to help Williams a ton. And according to where Gordon goes, I said he was old a while ago. I think he's, what, 26? So, I mean, he's still young enough to, you know, to be a viable, you know, RB1 on a team. So, I don't think he does. I think they've got too much in Williams, but, you know, you never know. I think they're going to pull out all the stops to get a quarterback there. So.
Yeah, and I'm kind of the same way. With me, I think that Denver can afford to keep Melvin Gordon and go after a quarterback. And so, really, what they've got to do is decide who would they rather have. Would they rather have Melvin Gordon for another year with mediocre quarterback play, or would they rather just go ahead and get an all-star quarterback for the next 2-3 years? Yeah. And so, the direction I see them going, just like you said, is Melvin Gordon leaving Denver, making way for Javonte Williams, who actually just traded for today before the show. But something that I will say about this as well, too, is that I've heard a lot of people make excuses and like kind of just the thought that, man, Melvin Gordon plays so good, Denver will want to keep him. And see, it's my opinion, man, that Melvin Gordon played so good that the dude wants to get paid. You know, like the guy wants to get paid. So therefore, whoever offers the most money is where he's going to go.
And they want to get all they can get out of him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, I mean, that's the case, man. You got to look at the players and like what they're good at and stuff. And just like what you said, I think Melvin Gordon is still a viable fantasy option. I think what he'll do is that he'll go to one of these teams like the Cardinals or the Buccaneers or even the Texans, man. And what he'll do is that he'll be their starting running back and keep them in contention for the next 2 or 3 years. And then they'll draft somebody else. And that's perfectly fine. Leads me to my next question, Marcus. Who's the starting running back for the Cardinals next year?
Ito Benjamin.
Oh, snap. Okay, hot take.
and I may miss it. I look for them to move both of those guys, Edmonds and
Connor. Just let them walk?
I do. You know, again, they've got a lot of drama going on with Murray, and who knows, you know, what that situation is going to hold. And both of those guys, like you said, had a good year. Edmonds dealt with a little bit of injury, but Connor leading the league in touchdowns, I believe, from the running back spot, or maybe next to Taylor. I can't remember, but he's right there up at the top. And Edmonds as well. Both those guys are going to want to get paid, and I think they've got a, you know, they've got a sleeper there in Benjamin. I think they may try that, and if not, they only bring one of those guys back, and I think Edmonds would be the one that they can, because we know what, you know, James Conner done in Pittsburgh, and what he come in and everybody said, you know, he was on the downslide. He still produced, especially in the red zone, you know, in Arizona. So, you know, one of those teams is looking for a sure enough, RB1 is fisting to pay him. So, you know, I honestly think that the Cardinals move on.
Yeah. And see, that was one of the big things last year during the NFL draft, is that a lot of people thought that the Cardinals were going to draft a running back of the future.
Yeah.
And so for them to pass, and I think they ended up going with Rondale Moore instead, who, man, they have not used this year.
No.
but for that, I see them kind of doing something similar. But, yeah, I see them either keeping James Conner or kind of doing like a draft pick and whatnot. Now, if they keep, you know, Benjamin, it's going to be kind of a prove it or lose it type position. Yeah. Either he does good or he's not going to play again. But it leads us to our third question. Marcus, who's the one player that could have a decent year in fantasy if they stay at the team that they're currently on?
Before Brady retired, I would say it's if you know, Fournette or Jones end up staying with the Bucs. I'm not 100% sure about that now, because I don't, you know, they could go straight into a rebuild, or they could go out and, you know, they could go out and get a big time quarterback to fill Brady's shoes and, you know, follow right back up with what they're doing. But that would be a scary situation to be in until they get shored up at quarterback. Then I honestly think Penny, you know, if he hangs around in Seattle, which I don't look for him to do, those three would probably be in the best situation. I think Penny would, you know, probably produce the most, because you see at the end of the year what he'd done, and they just didn't give him that opportunity until like week 12, 13 before they let him be the guy. So either one of those three, I think, according to what, you know, Tampa Bay does at quarterback.
Yeah, and that was actually my answer as well, as Rashad Penny. Man, I don't know what it is about Seattle's trust in Rashad Penny with that injury history, and them waiting, like, what was it, man, 3 or 4 years for that guy to produce something. And then for him to come out at the end of the season and actually prove that he was worth that, I don't want to say it was a first-round draft capital. And so for that, man, kudos to him. And I
hope Pete Carroll's always been that way, though. He's always been so wishy-washy. With his running back play, even when they had Marshawn Lynch in his prime, you know, Lynch would be fine, and they would, whoever was behind him, they'd put him in for, you know, a series or two. And I'm like, dude, you've got one of the best running backs to ever play the game. Why is he sitting on the bench? You know, even the stupid decision, you know, in the Super Bowl not to run him. Pete Carroll just does not use a running back like they ought to.
Yeah, I agree. And I think another person to kind of keep an eye on would be Cordell Patterson. Man, if he stays with Atlanta and Atlanta just tries to get one more year out of him before they draft someone out of that 23 class like Bijan Robinson or somebody like that, I could very, very easily see something like that happening and kind of give him a little bit more value than what he might have if he goes somewhere else. So let's do the opposite side of that question, Marcus. Who's the one player that could get a dynasty resurgence if they leave the team that they're currently on?
I think I mentioned it earlier. And I'm just interested to see what happens with him. But I think Marlon Mack's got a lot of potential, but as long as he stays in Indianapolis, he can hang it up because he's not touching the field there. Without Taylor, you know, having a serious injury. So he's I think he could be a stud on a team with the need at running back.
Yeah, and I could very, very easily see that. I want to see Marlon Mack kind of get that. Like, he didn't get him a lot of chances this year. And if I was Indianapolis, I can't really say that I blame him when he got one of the best running backs in the league. But I will say this, the one player that I want to see go somewhere else, and I want to see them have a little bit of a revival or a resurgence on their dynasty value would be Ronald Jones.
Yeah.
Man, people have been trying to hype Ronald Jones up like the past three off seasons or two off seasons, whatever it was. And they kept wanting to say, you know, he's going to be the starter this year. He's going to outplay Fournette. He's going to get that job, blah, 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 blah. And I think the guy, it took Fournette being hurt and put on IR for 3 weeks before Ronald Jones was able actually to go out there and do something.
Yeah.
And so with it, I want to see Ronald Jones leave the Bucs. I want to see him go get either a 1B job somewhere else, like kind of a timeshare, or just go and get his own job somewhere. But I want to see him actually get the opportunity that we wish that Bruce Arians had been giving him the past couple of years.
Yeah.
But then again, I see where Bruce Arians was, man. He had Leonard Fournette. Dude was out there balling. Very last question, Marcus. Out of that entire list, would you prefer any of these running backs over the 2022 rookie class?
No.
And what I mean here is you take your top three, top four running backs. You take Isaiah Spiller, Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, any of those. Would you rather have any of these vets over them?
And say that, I mean, I got to go no. While the 2022 is probably one of the weakest classes of rookies that we've seen in the last several years, those top three, four running backs in that 2022 class, I think, are going to be studs for years to come. And, it may not come true. But I even think you got depth. Like a guy that I'm interested in, and I think he's going to go later in the draft, but James Cook from Georgia.
Dalvin Cook's brother.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I think you got Ely from Ole Miss. I mean, you've got some depth in that running back class, but Isaiah Spiller is the one that I think will really transition well to the NFL coming from A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, out of those free agents, I would probably, rather have him over any of those guys. And that's why I've had several people trying to trade in Dynasty, wanting my picks. And I'm like, I would rather have the picks than, about anybody that I can, end up with. I even offered I offered Ezekiel Elliott up for a pretty high pick. But Zeke, while he struggled this year, he's still a guaranteed, RB1 for the next couple years. But of course it was with Steven, and I don't blame him. He turned it down. But that's how much faith I've got in this 2022 running back class.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man, is that this 2022 class is so weird because even in a super flex league, I don't know that a quarterback's going to go 101.
No.
I easily see Breece Hall, Treylon Burks, one of those, or even Spiller, like you said.
Spiller, yeah.
I see one of them going like 101 in this
class. I'm telling you, if Burks ends up in the right situation, he's going to be a stud.
Yeah.
He's got the speed, the size, the physicality to transition well to be your next Justin Jefferson, for say. And I know that's speaking really highly of him, but while the class in a whole is not really great, but the top guys at each position, least quarterback, but your top running back and receivers, the top two or three at each position are, they've got the potential to transition well.
Dynasty. And it's also not saying that the quarterbacks in this class are trash, because I think like Malik Willis, I think he's a good quarterback. I think Matt Corral is a good quarterback. And honestly, I think either one of them could be extremely successful in the NFL.
Yeah.
But it's just there's not that hype around them, specifically with like Matt Corral not showing up in the bowl game because of the injury and whatnot. But like Malik Willis, I want to say he didn't go to like a high name school and what?
Liberty.
Yeah. But with it, I want to say though that like you said, the top, man, eight picks. But what I've been doing the past week in my Superflex league, like the Yellowstone league, is I've been trading for these 2022 seconds because people are just throwing them away.
Yeah. And that's the thing. There's going to be some guys there that's going to end up being RB1s and, wide receiver ones on your dynasty teams. Now, it's going to take it a year or two. But if you're in a rebuild, I think this is the year that you can get the most out of your draft picks because people are so low on this draft.
Nope.
That's
the thing, man. I've been trying to trade picks away.
Yeah.
And it's almost like where they should be valued at, nobody wants them.
No.
And so that's why I've turned it around. I'm just trying to buy them.
Yeah, and that's me, especially. Like, I've got to get younger in the Yellowstone League, and I've tried to do, you know, a little bit of trading for picks, which I think I've got an extra second round, but you know, I'd like to get more, but of course I don't want to sell to where I'm in a complete rebuild.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm looking to get all the picks I can, because I think there's more talent there than people are thinking. It's going to take a year or two to produce unless they just end up in the best situation possible. But
well, speaking of these positions and stuff, Mark, let's just jump into the tight end position.
No.
I'm not gonna lie, this was kind of gross, and it's not one that's fun to talk about this year. But tight end free agents in the tiers that I got them broken down is, you got your tier one, which is Mike Gesicki and Dalton Schultz. Tier two, you have Zach Ertz, Rob Gronkowski, Evan Engram, CJ Uzuma, I think is how you pronounce it, and Robert Tonyan. Tier three, you have Mo Alie-Cox, Eric Ebron, Gerald Everett, Jared Cook, Anthony Firkser, OJ Howard, Hayden Hurst, David Njoku, Tyre Conklin, Max Williams, and Will Disley. Let me run through these teams real quick with tight end needs, which surprisingly, I didn't realize there was this many. You have Arizona, Carolina, Cincinnati, Dallas, Green Bay, Indianapolis, Miami, New York, Seattle, Tampa Bay, and Tennessee. I'm not going to lie, Marcus, before we start talking about this, I'm not really too interested in most of these. There's about one or two names on this list that I'm kind of waiting to see where they go to and which quarterback specifically they get paired up with. But let's just ask these questions, okay? And I guess we can answer through that.
All right,
so top tier, you had Mike Gesicki and Dalton Schultz. What's the one team you think will be an ideal landing spot for either one of those?
Oh, man, I really don't know. I think Schultz best play is probably to stay in Dallas, which they've got some younger talent. I really don't know. And honestly, if you look at every one of those teams, just kind of run through them. Arizona, you got the whatever's going on with Kyler Murray. Carolina, you don't know who's going to be their quarterback. Cincinnati would be where you want to be. Dallas, you got Dak. Green Bay, you don't know what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. Colts, I mean, you got Wentz. Miami, you know, you got Tua, but he showed that tight ends, you know, we're not going to do the best there. I mean, Gesicki had a pretty decent year, but then you go to the Giants, Jets, Seattle, and Tennessee, and Tampa Bay with Brady leaving. I mean, all those places other than Cincinnati and Dallas have questions at quarterback.
Yeah.
So, you know, honestly, for those guys, from a dynasty perspective, you're going to see them either on the Cowboys or the Bengals. Unless, of course, you know, Rodgers comes back, Kyler Murray gets things worked out at Arizona. The rest of those teams all have questions at quarterback.
Yeah, and I know you talked about Kyler in Arizona a couple of times, and I just want to kind of bring you up. I've been paying close attention to that this week, and I know, like, Kyler went and deleted all the anything affiliated with Arizona Cardinals off of his social media. Yeah. He's removed it from his bio. He's removed all the posts that include it and all this kind of stuff. Did you see where the Arizona Cardinals Instagram actually did the same thing, to where they went out and deleted all their photos and everything except for the two pictures that Kyler Murray had on his Instagram?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so it's almost like they gave like a little troll or a nod towards them.
Yeah, and they say that's, you know, I thought at first, you know, I ain't nothing to it, but there's several different media outlets that's coming out and saying that he's not happy and he's, you know, he's trying to push a trade.
Yeah, it could happen, man.
Yeah, I would hate to see it.
That's what I was about to say.
From Arizona's perspective, because you know, like we've already talked about, both the running backs could end up leaving. If you lose Murray, you're old at a lot of positions. You know, you're going to be back in a rebuild when you just come out of a rebuild, you know, and went out and got, you know, Hopkins and all those guys. And then, you know, if according to who they end up with at quarterback, if Murray, you know, if he does leave, well, then Hopkins is unhappy. So they need to try to patch that up.
Yep. And Hopkins could very well or very easily end up in the same situation he was in Houston. Yep. But for me, I think the situation gets resolved personally. I think he'll probably end up getting a contract extension, to where they go out and pay him a pretty decent amount of money and he stays in Arizona. It would be a drama field if he went somewhere else, which I kind of would like, but I think it'll play out that way.
If Rodgers does leave, just send him to Green Bay. I'll be happy. You know, I would love to have Kyler Murray in Green Bay over Jordan Love.
And I'm kind of the same way as you, though, with the tight ends that we mentioned. Mike Gesicki and Dalton Schultz, I think it kind of works out for both of them if they just stay where they are.
Yeah.
Just go get paid a little bit more and then just stay with the quarterbacks that you're used to.
I mean, honestly, if you look through this tight end list, all these guys are going to be better off to, you know, to try to work it out where they're at, maybe except for Gesicki. I could see him wanting to get, you know, with a premium quarterback.
Yeah, I guess him wanting to get paid.
Yeah. I mean, but if you look at the rest of those, they're going to be better off to stay where they're at.
Yep. So, Marcus, who on this list would you be willing to buy in a tight end premium league before free agency gets going?
Man, it's tough because they're all old. And when it comes to dynasty, you don't want to put a lot of stock in an old tight end. But I don't know. I mean, I looked through this earlier looking at this question, and honestly, I had Gesicki and traded him away. I honestly believe if the Cowboys work it out with Schultz, I've tried to trade for him a couple times already this past year.
And not a lot of people's wanting to give him up right now.
No, because, I mean, the dude's good, and if he can work it out with Dallas, I mean, he's going to be good for you know, however long they sign him. The only other one, I think Evan Ingram's got potential. I just think he's in a bad situation in New York with a pretty bad quarterback. So maybe Ingram, but I'm not giving up much of anything for him.
Yeah. And see, the one person that kind of sticks out on this list to me is CJ Uzomah. With him, if he stays with Cincinnati and he's tied to Joe Burrow for the future,
absolutely.
I know that he's not going to get crazy target share. But, dude, you just saw what he did this past season towards the beginning of the season. Yeah. Dude bought out.
What about Gronk when they asked him who do you want to play with? He said he wanted to play with Burrow. Did you hear that? I mean,
yeah, you go from one really good quarterback to another really good quarterback.
Could you imagine, you know, and I know Gronk's up in his age, but, man, the dude can still play. Could you imagine him on that Bengals team?
Man, I don't want to because I have too many shares of Higgins and Chase.
He's going to take their touchdowns away.
Man, that's the thing. Jamar Chase, though, I will say this. Most of his touchdowns come from about 50 yards out.
Yeah. He's not – it's not red zone. He's just yards after catch.
I think this next question, Marcus, mine and your answer is probably going to be the same. Who on this list would you be eager to sell in Dynasty while they still have some value? Pretty much anybody that you can get anything out of.
Yeah.
Except for, like you said, Dalton Schultz, I'd keep him. Unless you're offering me a pretty decent return, you ain't getting him from me. Anybody else in that list, I think you'd be happy getting a second for him, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Seeing Yellowstone, I've got Gronk and Robert Tonyan, and I've tried to trade both of them and, you know, can't even get any interest. So, with Gronk being as old as he is, he only has a few years left, and with Brady retiring, he could call it quits at any minute.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, you know, Tonyan, according to what situation he ends up in, coming off the injury, so anybody on this list, if you've got them besides Schultz and maybe, I don't even know, according to what happens and where he ends up, I think a lot of his success come just because of injuries, you know, in front of him would be Tyler Conklin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my thing, man. Speaking of Conklin, I think, Irv Smith, for me right now, I'm trying to buy him.
Yep.
I think he is a low-end tight end one in Dynasty.
The only thing that scares me with him is if they hang on to Cousins one more year, and I think they're going to.
Yeah. And if they do that, I mean, Cousins don't look to the tight end that often, honestly. But
he used to. When Rudolph was there, man, Rudolph was a stud. But I don't know what's happened, man. Cousins, just like Conklin, I picked him up in a redraft league and watched several of their games. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, dude's running down the field wide open, and Cousins, like, looking, you know, up three rows up in the bleachers. I'm like, throw the ball down the middle of the field. The dude's wide open.
Yeah. But this last question, Marcus, and we'll wrap this tight end conversation up. Out of all the names on this list, does any of them fall inside your top 20 dynasty tight end rankings?
They would be a few. Gesicki, of course, would be. Schultz, I think both of those are top 10, top 12. Tight ends and top 20. I know.
I'll go ahead and say that's the only two that fall in the category for me.
The only other one, I don't know, man. Ingram would be tough. I mean, I don't know. Top 20, I would probably still put Ingram in my top 20. He would be, you know,
he'd be
18,
number 20
19.
For you.
Yeah, I mean, he's all the way. And Zach Ertz, I mean, I don't know. How old is he? He's probably 30, right? 29. Yeah,
he's pretty old.
Yeah, he's not top 20 anymore either.
That's the thing, man. The tight end top 20 rankings.
It's pretty, a weak spot.
It's pretty solid as far as your top 10 go.
Yeah.
But outside this top 10, man, those rankings change week by week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, once you get past those three to four that are just, you know, locked down studs, it gets really tough because it's about situation. It's about quarterback. I mean, it's more about quarterback play than anything for me once you get out of those top, you know, three or four guys.
Yeah, I agree. So Marcus, let's take a break from the show real quick, man, and let's talk about this special announcement that you got coming up.
All right.
So Marcus is coming. You want me to go ahead and do it, or do you want to do it?
It doesn't matter. I mean, what we're going to do, the Super Bowl coming up. Me and BJ is going to make our predictions. We won't be entered into the contest, but it's just going to, you know, see if you can beat mine and BJ's predictions of the score. So what you'll do is you'll pick the winner. And then instead of doing total points, I actually want to score from the game. So you'll say, I think the Rams are going to win, final score, you know, 33-24. And whoever gets the closest, we've got an extra hat with the you know, the show's logo on it that we're going to give away. I don't think there'll be a need for a tiebreaker. So, you know, we'll just run it like that. Two people get close. Or pick the same score and are the closest, and we'll do a random generator and pick a name. So,
yeah, and then just like what Marcus said, the only requirements of this is that you have to like our Facebook page, Legacy of Legends, the Dynasty Podcast, and we'll have a post on there that gives our predictions, and you just have to comment your Super Bowl prediction. But there is a catch, though. You have to enter a keyword with it. And so, once again, you give your team who you think is going to win, you give the score prediction, and then underneath it, you have to enter the keywords Detroit Rams. This is in honor of Matthew Stafford leaving Detroit, which is a trash show, and going to the Los Angeles Rams, where he is now in the Super Bowl. So Detroit Rams is your key phrase for this key giveaway here. I think that's a cool idea, Marcus, man. I'm excited for it, and I think it's going to kind of get a little bit more participation from our audience.
Yep. It'll be fun to see. So, are you going to make your prediction now or just wait? Put you on the spot, BJ.
Yeah, okay, all right, I'll go ahead and do it. I want to go with my heart, man, because I said that this team wasn't going to make the Super Bowl, and once again, I want to see it happen. I want to see them take it home. And so I'm going to go Bengals. I don't like it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going Bengals with a final score of, 38-35. I think it's going to be a shootout, and I think that it's going to come down to a last-second Money Mac field goal.
38-35. I'm going to go Bengals as well. But I'm going to go 27-33. Bengals win 33 in overtime.
Oh, snap. Okay.
33, which of course they'll score the touchdown. We'll have to kick the field goal. Goes into overtime. Bengals get the ball, drive down, score. So 33-27 Bengals in overtime.
And if that's how I played that, Mark, it's gonna be one of the Super Bowls to remember, man.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, all the playoff games and stuff has ended in overtime. So I mean, you gotta
watch this. Watch this game be a terrible one. Well, like somebody just runs away with it, or it's a low scoring game.
Yeah, it'll be one of those where you're watching, and you're like, all right, this sucks.
Yeah, like I'm ready to go home.
Yeah.
All right. So, Marcus, something that you suggested it was last episode, put me on the spot with. We're going to make this kind of a reoccurring segment towards the end of our show, just until we get done with these positions. Who's our Mount Rushmore? And so, what we'll do is we'll go through our running back Mount Rushmore, and then our tight end Mount Rushmore. All right.
Be Mount Catchmore for the tight ends.
There you go. And so, from Mount Rushmore, Marcus, who's your running backs?
On my running back list, and I'm going to catch some slack, which I was looking you're going to too. But I've got Barry Sanders, who is my all time favorite. I think, career cut short because he didn't want to play for Detroit, but to me, the best running back to ever play the game. Of course, if you're a fantasy guy, LT, LaDainian Tomlinson's got to be on there. Terrell Davis is one for me that may not make a lot of people's list. Again, didn't play that long. But if you watch those, you know, 98, 99 Super Bowl years with the Broncos, the dude was a beast especially with, you know, he dealt with migraines and stuff in the middle of the game and still played through it. And then, of course, Sweetness, Walter Payton. I wasn't alive to watch this guy play, but, you know, watching old highlight videos and stuff, reminds me a lot of Barry Sanders. Of course, I'm going to catch some slack with leaving Emmitt Smith off that list. But I hate the Cowboys, so Emmitt Smith's not on my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, and see, for me, man, it's weird because when I think best running backs, I'm not going to lie, my mind immediately goes to YouTube videos that I watched when I was in high school. And what
Barry
I would
Sanders.
Do. Man, and so I remember I was in eighth grade, I believe, and I had to do a report on just a football player, and I ended up choosing Barry Sanders. Literally had no idea who he was or anything, and I remember going home and watching a YouTube video. I want to say back then it was MySpace video, and just watching Barry Sanders highlights. And when I watched it, I was like, oh my gosh, man, this dude is awesome. And ended up writing a report on him, how his he went to college. I want to say, didn't he go to Oklahoma State?
Mm-hmm.
Went to college, Oklahoma State, and ended up going into the pros. I want to say he had a 2,000 yard rushing season that I remember.
Yep.
And then, like you said, career cut short, man.
10 years, and he never has publicly come out and said it, I don't think. But I've heard, you know, you've heard stories, and he pretty much told Detroit, trade me or I'll retire. And of course, you know, they wouldn't. But yeah, the dude, me being a Packers fan, that's pretty neat to him, a Packers fan, which I'm supposed to hate Detroit and the Bears. And of course, Walter Payton and Barry Sanders ended up on my list. But, you know, Barry Sanders played, you know, some of the same years that Favre did. And I mean, the dude, they didn't beat us a lot, but he would run all over the Packers every game. They just had no defense. So therefore, you know, Favre would drive straight back down the field and, you know, go back up on them. But yeah, he was a beast for sure.
So I'll go with another old head at the running back position. Somebody that I did not get a chance to watch live or anything. But specifically, I remember watching a video on the internet with the song, Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, in the background. And this guy as my running back list here is Earl Campbell. Man, I have never seen anybody run over somebody like Earl Campbell did. Just seeing him whenever, I want to say he was playing with the Houston Oilers, if I'm not mistaken, and seeing him just run straight up the middle and lower his head, which is illegal to do now, but would lower his head and put it in somebody's chest or their shoulder pads, and it looked like he just killed a man. And, man, I remember watching that and just being, like, getting hype, you know? And so as far as like just my top four running backs that I remember right now, it's Barry Sanders, Earl Campbell, I got to make a transition here and go from people that I didn't get a chance to watch live to people that I grew up watching. And so I got to go LT, LaDainian Tomlinson. Man, I remember just playing backyard football and stuff, and even doing a little celebration like LT did, just where he put his hand behind his head and extended the other arm and dropped the ball.
Yep.
And I just, man, watching LT, I remember him breaking that the touchdown record there and being lifted up on his offensive lineman's shoulders. Man, he was a fun player to watch. Now my last one here, this is one that he is not anybody's top four running back, but for me, he is mine, and it's the bus, Jerome Bettis. This is somebody that he don't have great stats or anything, but man, for me, he was fun to watch. When you looked at the bus, you didn't see an uber athletic running back. You didn't see a DeAndre Swift. You didn't see a Jonathan Taylor. Pretty much, you saw an offensive guard running the ball, and he was fun to watch during those couple of years that I remember watching him.
Yeah,
but
the bus was a guy that I wasn't never a Steelers fan, but he was always fun to watch. Like you said, he was the guy that made you think, hey, I could do that. You know, he's not fast, he's not super athletic, but he's big and he runs over folks. So,
yep. So let's transition over to this tight end list, Marcus. I don't think there's much difference here between ours. Once again, I could very, very easily go with consensus. I think it's something that me and you kind of agree on here. Let's just be honest. The consensus top four, Marcus, is Tony Gonzalez, Rob Gronkowski, Travis Kelce, and Antonio Gates. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's who I would normally say. But these are all four tight ends that I genuinely have watched live. These are ones that I enjoyed watching and whatnot. And so my top four, Tony Gonzalez, man, I remember watching him when he was with the Chiefs. And I want to say later on, didn't he go to the Falcons?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, had some huge late game heroics with him and Matt Ryan, especially I think it was the season before they went to the Super Bowl. They got put out pretty late in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they had it was less than a minute, no timeouts on the clock, and it was like three straight passes to Tony Gonzalez. You know, he was catching the ball right there at the sidelines, and I remember that game like it was yesterday. The dude never – I don't think I ever seen him drop a ball. I mean, he just had hands that you know, everybody that plays football wishes for.
Yep, and then my number two tight end will be Gronkowski. For me, when I think of prime Gronkowski, I don't think Buccaneers Gronkowski.
Oh, no.
I think Patriots Gronkowski. I think him lining up against a star cornerback and just putting on a clinic, just catching all over people. They would dive at his ankles trying to tackle him. He would just run them over.
The years where they had Hernandez and Gronk.
It was ridiculous, man. And so what he did with Tom Brady is, man, I have yet to see another tight end do that and just be the number one target, be the guy that looked out. I've got Greg Olsen on my list. This is kind of a hot take.
One of the best announcers in football.
You know, man, I want to put Antonio Gates here. I'm not going to lie. But the reason I went with Greg Olsen, just because he was one of those guys that was just scrappy. I really just enjoyed watching him just because he reminded me of kind of like a Julian Edelman, to where he went out there, he did his job, and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
But my all-time favorite tight end to watch, who is somebody that I genuinely enjoyed watching, not now that he's with the Chicago Bears, but man, Jimmy Graham, when he was with the New Orleans Saints and paired up with Drew Brees, was literally my favorite tight end to watch. Because he was a former basketball player, and just the way that he could use his body to just body somebody up in the end zone and just jump over them pretty much. Man, and then the end zone celebration of dunking the ball into the end zone or the goalpost. Jimmy G was literally my favorite tight end.
I was talking with my dad today just about, you know, you talked about, you know, the greatest of all time and things like that at different things. We was actually talking about comedians, which led into just talking about how different people, but Jimmy Graham, kind of like we was talking about today with comedians, you had certain guys who come and they changed the way that it was done.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Graham, from a tight end perspective, done that. He changed the way that the tight end position was played. You know, when he come along, and like you said, the basketball style, which of course kind of adapted it a little bit from Tony Gonzalez. But Tony Gonzalez still played inside, things like that. Jimmy Graham was one of the first tight ends to line up outside, and get down in the red zone and just say, hey, throw the ball up. You know, and then you had the Gronk, the Aaron Hernandez, all the guys here lately that's come after him to do that same thing. But Jimmy Graham really did change the way that the position was played.
Yeah, and kind of following that as well. Like, I remember being in high school and watching Jimmy Graham, and I remember that even our high school coach went and kind of recruited one of the basketball players that was like 6'6" and asked him to come play tight end for us. And like, he adapted that from Jimmy Graham, if we're honest.
Yep.
All right, Marcus. Let's hear your Mount Catchmore here.
Well, it's kind of like you said. You got Tony G, who I think is when you say tight end, his name's going to be the first you know, to pop in your mind. Gronk, of course. So our first two was the same, and then I've got Antonio Gates. And if you know, if you Google the top tight ends of all time, that's probably going to be the first three that pop up.
Yeah.
But all those guys, as we've already talked about, you know, played the position. You just flawlessly. When it comes to guys who was a little different for me, which I think he would still be on the top of some people's list. I've got a 4A and a 4B, because you can't leave Kelce off. And honestly, that's like you said, that's probably the top four. He's still playing and still got, you know, 2 or 3 years to finalize his legacy. But the guy that I can't leave off my list is Shannon Sharp. To watch him play, he just was so passionate. He was a loudmouth, and he, you know, he jacked his jaws and, you know, was all time talking crap, but he could back it up. And that's usually not the type of player that I like to watch, but, you know, of course those last few years that, he got to play with Elway, and, you know, of course winning the Super Bowls and stuff. I mean, it was just, you know, it was special to see what he done on the field. Now, right, the opposite of that, I can't stand to listen to the guy on his TV show. He gets on my nerves, but I love to watch him play.
Oh, man, just how they make memes out of him just cracks me up.
Oh, my goodness. He does not need to be on TV. He doesn't. He's got a great knowledge of football, don't get me wrong, but just his takes, you can tell, which that show is so scripted. But I don't even know who's on it now. Is it still him and Skip Bayless?
I think so, but I'm not 100% sure.
I can't even watch it because it's so scripted. Like, you can tell all they do is script that show to where him and Skip fight and try to get views out of that. Like, it doesn't matter if they both, you know, I can't even think of a situation, but if they both love Kyrie Irving on that show, one of them's going to have the opposite opinion. I mean, it's just like they do it on purpose. You know, it's like, all right, Skip, well, today, you know, you're going to have to go against Shannon on this. I know y'all both think the same way, but, and I, you know, I don't like shows like clickbaity stuff, and that's what they do is just, of course, love to watch him play, but he gets on my nerves on TV. So,
nah, man, I get it. And, I guess I started thinking about it and stuff, and like, players, this led me to a conversation just with myself of like, man, who's one player at each position that I just enjoyed watching? And who wouldn't make it to my top four, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me, man, I enjoyed watching Jason Witten play tight end.
Oh,
I think it was mostly because Tony Romo was very wishy-washy a lot of times, and that team could never make a playoff run. But Jason Witten, man, he was one of those where he was just your basic tight end, and there was not much that was special about him. But he was fun to watch, just in the sense of like, I mean, he tried, you know, and he gritted his teeth and he did what he was supposed to. And then one running back that I enjoyed watching is Darren Sproles. He's the one guy that was he started the whole undersized movement and whatnot. But with him just being that PPR machine was pretty crazy.
If I had to think of of some guys, mine again, which both of these are going to be homer picks. But when you say Darren Sproles, and a guy who I love to watch play, didn't have a real lengthy career at running back, was Dexter McCluster, which is, you know, had a little bit going on with the Chiefs there for a while, but was a guy who everybody said was way too small to make it in the pros. But of course, watching him at Ole Miss and then watching what he got to do in the NFL, a lot of it, you know, on special teams, but did get, you know, a good bit of playing time at running back and both receiver.
Yeah.
Enjoyed watching him. But tight end, again, a homer pick, and a lot of guys may not even know who this dude is, but Mark Chimera, who played earlier with Brett Favre in his career, you know, was a guy who probably shouldn't have made it in the NFL. He was very unathletic, but one of those guys who had hands, and he would block and knock your socks off. But he was drafted really late, and a guy who, you know, Brett Favre pretty much made him what he was. But man, I used to enjoy watching him play, and then to look back and watch all the old videos. I'll get on YouTube, of course, and I obsess over Brett Favre some, but I can remember the old videos, like of him and Chimera and them going trick or treating, like on old home VHS. They went to Holmgren went to his house on Halloween trick or treating. Just he seemed like a cool dude, and I enjoyed watching him play as well. So,
and I really thought he was gonna pull out the Eddie Lacy take there, Marcus.
Man, I don't know that dude. I enjoyed watching him play. He just
had a couple too many biscuits.
That's what I can say. He got so big so fast. Somebody said it. That's what they said. He looked like a can of biscuits that was about to bust. But the dude, man, if you remember when he first come into the league.
Oh, man, he tore it up.
Man, and he just couldn't quit eating.
Man.
Of course, I think he played, what, 3-4 years?
Some of that. It's kind of, he had very similar vibes as Kelvin Benjamin, if you remember him.
Yeah. Oh, man, Benjamin. Benjamin could have been so good. But again, you know, he went from receiver to tight end real quick.
Oh, man. But that's pretty much all we got for our show today, guys. I just want to run through these thank yous real quick. First off, thank you to our listeners once again. Man, it's because of you guys that y'all make this podcast work and just support us and stuff like that. Make sure that you do get in the hat giveaway. Try to listen throughout the episode, find that key phrase and whatnot, and then just share it on Facebook, like we said, and like the post or whatever you got to do. Marcus, you want to thank the other podcast for us?
Yeah. Was it Plowboy?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We'd like to thank Plowboy, of course, for always giving us some interesting takes on theology and the Bible. Go over and give Derek, Bradley, and Ben a listen, and give them a good review.
Yeah, man. And then the last podcast we'd like to thank as well is thank you to the support for Jab Step Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Our friend Ben and league mate in a couple of leagues that we're in started a solo fantasy basketball podcast. And so if you like all things NBA, specifically with all these trades that just happened as the NBA our trade deadline came up, listen up to Ben McCarthy's podcast, Jab Step Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Make sure you go over on our social media pages on Facebook and on Twitter at LOL Dynasty Pod and give us a like and a follow there. Also, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all other platforms. Man, we're looking forward to producing these episodes and stuff. And maybe take a couple weeks for us during the off season and everything, but we're excited to break down some rookies. We're going to do free agent frenzy quarterbacks next. And so that's going to be a fun episode as well. Mark, you got anything else to say to the listeners?
Man, thank y'all for listening and keep coming back as we get new content.
Absolutely, man. We'll see you guys next time.